I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Y'all might find this hard to believe, but preseason basketball practices began this week. I know. What do you think about that, Podgator? Oh, he's excited. Me too. I'm kind of ready for some hoops. Not that I'm done with football. Couldn't be if I wanted to be. But I actually got out to Tupelo on Monday evening. Hung out there for a little bit with the boys' team and watched them practice. Talked to Robert Green, the coach, and Gavin Shannon, the senior forward. And had a story in Wednesday's journal if you care to check it out. Also at djournal.com. Yeah, a lot more basketball coverage going to start coming your way before too long. But yes, we are still in the middle of football, so that's the main topic of conversation on this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. We come to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. And a big thank you to our sponsor, Pizza Doctor. I asked photographer Adam what kind of pizza I should order today. I actually gave him the, because he's picky. I gave him the courtesy of that, and then he was like, I'm not going to be here at lunch. Okay, buddy. So John Luke suggested pepperoni. So we went with that. It was good. Check him out, Pizza Doctor, Midtown Point in Tupelo, a.k.a. the Old Mall, also online at tupelopizza.com. Football Rewind, Week 7 in the books. I did not cover Tupelo last week for the first time this year because they were in Starkville and we needed somebody to go out to Shannon. So I had my man Paul Jones cover Tupelo at Starkville because that's where he lives. And I went to Itawamba at Shannon. Big division game there between those two teams in 1-4A. Itawamba, of course, coming in undefeated. Shannon coming in playing well and played really well, especially for the first half of the game against Itawamba. At one point, took the lead at 20-14 after a fumble return for touchdown on a fumble on a punt return. Itawamba answered and scored right before the half, so it was 21-20 at halftime. You're thinking, well, this is a huge opportunity for Shannon to pull out a huge win. I mean, Itawamba's the front runner, not only in the division, they're one of the favorites to win a state title in 4A. Shannon looked really good on both sides of the ball the first half, but second half, different story. Could not get on the scoreboard. Now that they moved the ball, just couldn't finish drives. Itawamba got two big stops in the red zone, one of them not surprisingly by Isaac Smith, who does everything. And he had a nice game on both sides of the ball, as you would expect. Oh, Isaac on offense, he rushed for 149 yards and two touchdowns on 16 carries. Had that big stop on defense, made some other big plays. Zion Ashby had two picks, one at the beginning of the game. I believe it was on Shannon's first drive, and then another one to kind of seal the deal in the fourth quarter, returned a pick 48 yards for touchdown. Easy to forget about guys like Zion Ashby when you got Isaac Smith on your team, but yeah, he played really well. The quarterback, Ty Davis, really did a good job with the offense. He ended up 17 of 27 for 166 yards and two touchdowns. Ended up being 42-20 the final at Itawamba. So still, if you're Shannon, I think you have to be encouraged by the way you played against one of the best 4A teams in the state. And should get a decent playoff seed if they can finish strong. Itawamba now at 7-0. Going back to Tupelo, as I mentioned, was at Starkville. Had my man Paul down there, and they eked out a 24-17 win. You know, Starkville down some players. Haven't had running back Tyler Nichols off all year. He's off the team. Trey Petty did not play. He was ejected the week prior in the third quarter. I thought he would have been eligible to play the fourth quarter, but they stuck with Jalen Ruffin. He ended up going 12 of 24 for 130 yards. The run game now, that was a different story. That was really productive for Starkville. 207 yards from Curtis Willis. I was surprised Tupelo gave up that many yards. But had the answers offensively with Jeremiah Harrell, of course, and Quay Middlebrooks at running back. J.Q. Witherspoon helped as well in the run game, the receiver there. You know, they've been without Jabari Dooley most of this season. Saw him with his knee wrapped at practice today, so he's still battling that injury. Don't know when he'll be back. But Tupelo, you know, going on the road against a Starkville team that's just not been able to get over the hump now, still winless in division play. But that's still a quality win, if you ask me, for Tupelo. So they got to turn around and have another big game at home this week. We'll talk about that one in just a minute. And then Ripley wins a slugfest against New Albany, an offensive slugfest against New Albany. A little surprising. I mean, we knew New Albany could put up some points, but Ripley ain't been giving up many. In fact, I think entering this game, they'd given up 27 all year. Well, they gave up 28 to New Albany, but still won 31 to 28. So the offense, which for Ripley has not been especially explosive this year or high scoring, managed to get the job done. Behind the I mean, this stat is ridiculous. Ty Long, the quarterback for Ripley, was 3 of 7 passing for 3 touchdowns. That's what you call efficient. His third touchdown went to Michael Turner, make it 31-21. New Albany scored, got within 3, couldn't get the onside kick, and then they muffed a punt, and that was it. So Ripley also remains undefeated, and that defense definitely got stretched by New Albany like no other team has. But again, New Albany has a really good offense. So anyway, that was a big 2-4A matchup there. Looking ahead, Week 8, I mentioned Tupelo got a big one this week back home to take on Madison Central, the reigning 6A state champions. Now, Madison Central lost a lot from last year, especially on defense, and right now sitting at 2-1 in Division II 6A, 4-2 overall. Tupelo, of course, 7-0 overall, 3-0 in division. Lost this game last year, 35-3 at Madison Central, so that was not a good game for Tupelo in any respect. But this is a much better Tupelo team, much better Jeremiah Harrell at quarterback. Had a good talk with him today. I'll have something on him in Friday's paper. Having a great season, much more accurate, knows what he's doing. Got the whole playbook in his head. 18 touchdowns and only 1 pick. That's a ridiculous stat when you just look at it like, oh. And that 1 pick was, if I recall correctly, against Columbus in the second half with the game well in hand a few weeks ago. So a meaningless interception. But Madison Central still does have quarterback Vic Sutton. Very good player. So far, he's thrown for 985 yards and 9 touchdowns. Of course, they got that great receiver, Isaiah Spencer. He's got 558 yards and 4 touchdowns. He's already got 56 catches in 6 games. That's nearly 10 catches a game. So I think we know who Tupelo's defense will be focusing on there. And, of course, the Tupelo secondary has been terrific all season. Had a tough game last year against this team. Spencer burned them a few times. But I think Tupelo will be better prepared for this one. So the wave on a roll, going to try to keep rolling Friday night. Hamilton, in a big 3-1A showdown, travels to West Lowndes. Hamilton's still undefeated. How about those Lions? 7-0. 3-0 in division. West Lowndes is 5-2, 3-1. Hamilton continuing to just run the ball down everybody's throat, averaging 388 yards a game. Kaiser Werner already has 1,191 yards rushing, 16 touchdowns. Quarterback Evan Pounder is doing a good job, both with his arm and his legs. He's accounted for over 1,200 yards and 17 touchdowns running and passing. West Lowndes, don't know much about him. Couldn't get any stats. The coach said they have not been able to stay up to date on those. But they seem to be a pretty solid team just based on some of the scores I've seen. So another big game for Hamilton. That team just, Wade Tackett in just his second year has got them. at a level they haven't seen in a few decades in Hamilton. And then finally, we've got Corinth at Itawamba AHS. So the Indians go back home to take on Corinth. And, you know, I could see this being a close game, at least for a while, like last week with Shannon. Hard to say. Bronner Krijgen, the Corinth quarterback, has been out. He could be back this week is what I'm hearing, but I don't know for sure. Of course, they got Chris Rogers, who can play both ways, mostly on defense, but he'll play some offense too. He can be a dangerous weapon there, and they got some other good guys on that offense. I just don't know if what they can do against that Itawamba defense on a consistent basis. I really don't. So, you know, it's one of the – I mean, if you're Itawamba, Corinth can sneak up on you if you let them. So, got to be on guard after a pretty tough game the week before against Shannon. Let's talk some volleyball real quick. Playoffs, of course, got started last week, and Tuesday night was the second round. I got out to Springville as Pontotoc traveled to South Pontotoc. Nice little county rivalry in the playoffs. Pontotoc, the reigning 4A state champ, been kind of a tough year for him. Entered that game with a 500 record. South Pontotoc was won its division. This is only its fourth year in existence. Looking for its first playoff win, they had a first round bye. And Pontotoc came out, took the first two sets. South Pontotoc kind of got knocked on its heels, got punched in the jaw, whatever cliche you want to use. But maybe the nerves, Coach Blake Lovell thought the nerves may have gotten to him a little bit. Obviously, Pontotoc's got more playoff experience. And, you know, the South Pontotoc did a nice job of recovering, took the third set, and the fourth set was just nip and tuck the entire way. South Pontotoc had his chances, but Pontotoc pulled out that last set by a score of 26-24. To improve to 13-12 on the season, a lot of girls came up big there for Pontotoc in that last set and in the game as a whole. Mercedes DeGaulle, for one, I asked her after the game if there's a sport she doesn't play well. She's good at basketball, good at softball. Said she doesn't play tennis well. I don't know. I don't believe her. She probably does. She's one of those kids can just step into any sport and excel. But yeah, she had 14 kills in that game. And so Pontotoc moves on to the next round. We'll take on New Albany. Got a lot of fun matchups involving area teams facing each other this week. Thursday is the third round. I mentioned Pontotoc at New Albany. They met twice in the regular season. New Albany won both times. Also got Hatley at Alcorn Central, reigning 3A champ. Also in 3A, Mantachie at Kossuth. You've got East Union at Walnut in 2A. And then in 1A, you've got Faulkner at Ingomar and Biggersville at Hickory Flat, which is the reigning 1A champ. You also got Oxford hosting Madison Central in 6A. In 5A, Lafayette visits New Hope. Tisch County at Caledonia in 4A, and Belmont hosting Choctaw County in 2A. So we'll have coverage of that as we did Tuesday night of several matches. Look for it in the journal and at djournal.com. Let's close it out with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Female Athlete of the Week, not her first time either, Maddie Kate Von Cannon of Walnut, doing double duty. Back on Friday at the Pontotoc Cross Country Invitational, she finished fifth in the small school race. And then a few days later on Tuesday, steps on the volleyball court, has 11 kills and 13 digs as Walnut beats Baldwin 3-0. So there you go. She's much like Sadie Stegall, very good at multiple sports. Love watching those kind of kids play. Really do. Male Athlete of the Week, Jack Johnson, the Kossuth quarterback. Pretty efficient the other night in a 42-0 win over Alcorn Central. 9 of 13, 255 yards and 5 touchdowns, no picks. And unless the stats were not fully updated, I was looking at them. Apparently, Kossuth only ran 16 offensive plays, scored 6 touchdowns. Obviously, it was a running clock at some point in the second half. But still, that's, wow. Efficient, as I said. That's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining me and Podgator. We'll be see you back here next week. Again, you can catch us every Wednesday on iTunes, Spotify, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Also, check out our Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Check out Pizza Doctor as well, our sponsor at Midtown Point in Tupelo, also at tupelopizza.com. Okay, we will see you next time.